The things I am saying a bit later and talking about is us being one body and the diversity in being one body. That's why Eric's in a suit and I'm not. Well, that's my get out clause anyway, first thing. But anyway, if I don't say it enough this morning, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, in everything I'm saying and everything I'm talking about in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit. I'm more desperate this week than I was last week because I know what a weakness my life is without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the difference in our lives. Otherwise, it becomes our strength, our preferences, our good ideas. And that's not what we're to be about. So, I want you all to think Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit more in our lives. No matter what size we are then, no matter how inadequate we feel, we will accomplish impossible things with God through the Holy Spirit. So, last January, I shared what I felt were our five key strategies for 2012. And I'm sure you all remember them, but just in case you don't, that's what they were. Now, if we're honest, we pursued them with various degrees of fruitfulness, but I do believe that we're in a different place as a church today than we were a year ago. I do believe that. It might not look physically different, but I do believe individually that we have grown, and so corporately we have grown. But what we did find with having five strategies was that it was quite a number to focus effectively on. And though we saw fruitfulness, I would think in virtually all of those to various degrees, we didn't feel that at the present time we have the capacity to add then another five for this year. Now, when I'm going to talk this morning, it doesn't mean these are forgotten now. These are part of us. We are working towards these as part of our makeup. However, in 2013, we do feel that we need to have fewer key strategies that we feel that we can put our energy into making progress in. Now, when I say strategies, I'm talking about steps. Okay? I don't want us to be a flip chart church. I'm not talking about, oh, this is a strategy we're going to work on. These are steps to us fulfilling the vision. And before we look at them, I actually got challenged myself personally, so maybe this is for me, but I don't believe it is. I believe it's for us all. That actually we needed to look around vision and being one body. Because if we haven't individually caught the vision or understand the significance of being one body, then what I'm going to share in strategies and steps and what I have shared last year will seem like programs to you. And what do programs make you think of? Meetings. And what do meetings make you think of? That's all very well, Richard, but that's another thing I've got to fit into my already busy life. If we think steps, we think taking somewhere. We think a step is somewhere that leads us. It moves us. A step has purpose. Steps take us towards fulfilling God's purposes. And my prayer this morning is that you catch steps, not strategies, not programs, but you catch steps towards the vision rather than just seeing them as programs. So we're going to start where I start every year, and we probably need to start more often, with our mission statement. Now, I thought about not putting this up and getting you to just recite it to me, but then I thought, no, even I can't remember all that, so I think that was a good idea. See? But listen, these aren't just words. This is who we are and where we're heading. Though we can't maybe see it yet, we are seeing it as we take the steps. So, as a church, we want to bring hope and restoration to everyone in our community, town and region, as family on mission together. Our vision is to build a church that is God-centered, Bible-based, and Spirit-filled, that we would be the people God has called us to be in serving his purposes through the place, region, and world that we live in. Now, if you only look at these once a year, you'll have difficulty making them stick with you. Okay, they become words. You need to get these words to stick in you, because this is who God has called us to be. To be a people in God's kingdom who are locally committed yet globally connected. We desire to see people introduced to Christ, members of a community where they can grow to maturity, and that this community would impact for God's kingdom. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. That won't happen by words. It won't happen by us. It will happen through the Holy Spirit. We want to see the spiritual regeneration of this town, do we not? Yes. And the surrounding area come through proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and expressed through social action with the Holy Spirit. We want to be inclusive of all ages, classes and races, helping them find love, acceptance, help, forgiveness, guidance and encouragement through Jesus Christ. That we would have a facility which would be a resource centre to both the community we live in and for the kingdom of God. We're not there yet. If we were there, that wouldn't be vision. But what we're talking about this morning is taking the steps towards that. So let's just talk around vision. I didn't leave secular work to come to another job. I came because I felt God called me to lead this church. I personally caught his vision for his church, Rugeley Community Church. I caught his plans and his purposes. And the key to vision is that we all individually have to personally embrace it. We all have to catch it. It's no good catching it on behalf of my back or behalf of me. We all personally have to catch vision. And it's important that everything that we do lines up with our mission and our vision statement. Our strategies, our steps, our ministries all must line up. So if we have a new idea that takes a step towards fulfilling the vision, we'll take it. If not, we won't. Now this is where I'm going to get honest with you. If I'm honest, maintaining vision is difficult, both corporately and personally. And I'm speaking to myself here. As committed as I am, as I say, in taking steps towards God's vision for us, it's easy for me to schedule vision right out of my life. And how do I do that? By the busyness of church, by the busyness of family, by the busyness of life. I'm busy. You're busy. I'm very busy. You're all very busy. And if I'm not careful, all my time and all my energy gets consumed with church and family. And while that may appear noble, that's not enough. Vision is about creating something new, something that we should be. But it won't happen without dogged determination. It needs to stick. We need to see it through to the end. I have a picture in my mind of what I believe God is calling us to be as a church. And it almost looks like a paint by numbers. You know those things where you fill in the little, you get an outline. And I see this outline of this community building, this hub of hope and restoration. I see this place where people are going in and coming out. The community are going in, and in one aspect they're having coffee. In another aspect, they're meeting with a local agency. In another aspect, they're being prayed and healed for. We need the Holy Spirit. I see a place where food bank, where Chase Area Pregnancy, there's English, Happy Tots, youth, where people are, the elderly are having meals, are being cared for. The lonely are finding a place where they're loved. And it's all a place of hope and restoration, bringing the love of Jesus. I see a day when it's hard to see the line between community and church, and vice versa, being a church with no walls. And this room is full of multicolored paint. You are the substance that will make this picture happen. We might not be there yet, but we're on our way there. We all have to embrace the vision fully and refuse to allow busyness and the urgency of life to distract us. We need to do whatever it takes personally to make vision stick. To see it become reality requires daily attention and daily commitment. And you know, I get personally consumed with the tension between what is and what is to come. At times, I get frustrated. I get brokenhearted. I find it tough. But I believe God is in that anguish. I truly believe, otherwise I wouldn't be here, I truly believe we are on the brink of something divine. Something too important to abandon. So I have to see the bigger picture. We have to see the bigger picture. I want the next generation, those that have gone out there, and even maybe a bit older than that, I want them to be standing on the ceiling that we leave so that they can take it forward. I want them to build upon what we leave as a church, what the church must become. I don't want to be shaped by the opinions of man. I want to be shaped by my value for his presence. Any price we pay in claiming more territory for God is well worth the exchange. There is no easy way to this, folks. We're committed to what God wants us to do. And that's going to be hard, but full of the Holy Spirit is going to be possible. The question is, are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to embrace the vision and do whatever it takes to make it stick? I said last year in my introduction that my heart was that every single member of Rugeley Community Church would fully understand the importance and worth they have in being a member here. I still sense some of us haven't caught that. And that's not a criticism, it's just an observation. Because if we catch it, we don't see this as a meeting. We don't see this as maybe I can make it or I not make it. I need to be amongst my family whenever it's possible, because if not, I might be missing out what God will want to say to me, but also in what God might want to use me for. You can't get away from it. I'm sorry, there is no way. If you're a member here, you are integral to what is going on here. It's so important that we understand us being one body. We know the verses well. In 1 Corinthians 12, 26, it's where Paul is referring to the church as one body with many parts. And Paul is telling us in that one body that there's unity, there's diversity, and there's interdependence. And he says this in verses 14 and 18 to 18. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each of them as he chooses. We should, and we do, have unity through Jesus Christ. But there is also diversity. I look around and there's a lot of diversity. But if a stranger were to walk in that church this morning, they would see all different styles, tastes, colours, races and background. And they would say, what in the world are all these people doing together? And they'd be right. Because without Jesus, we wouldn't be sitting here and being the community that we are this morning. And as we pull together around Jesus, we actually grow closer to one another. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So it's through the church, so it's through you and me, that the world is going to see that Jesus is bigger than any class, any race, any income, any experience, any education. Jesus brings us together into one diverse, loving, and unified family. Most of the time. Because we have to work that through. Because that's what family is about. The more diversity we have, the more we work together. The more that everyone gets to use their skills, talents, and abilities. So the stronger and the better the church becomes. But also in this family of unity and diversity, there is interdependence. Each one of us needs each other. Everybody is important. Paul said in that verse 18, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chooses." You are here, you are part of us, God has called you. That's not just your coincidence or your good thinking. God has called and placed each and every one of you in this church. We have holes, and I'm not talking about in the roof. We have holes, and God has brought you to fill them. Good. You can get excited. Now, some of us can walk in and we get frustrated. This part of church isn't going well. I don't like it. My response to that is, great, good, welcome. No, not great that you're frustrated. Great that it apparently shows that you have gifts to see and diagnose that all is not going well. And you can help fix it. That's why it's great. That's all ministry is. Walking in and saying, I see a hole, I see a need. So we have a choice. We can complain, or we can get frustrated, or we can fulfill what God has called us to be in helping. So my question to us all is, Are you connected to this church body? Or are you a free-floating toe? Or a wavy hand that's out here? That's not body, is it? No. When Paul talks about the body, he's talking about you, and he's talking about you being plugged in. So, what are our key strategies for this year? Well, I don't want now you to forget, I'll come back to that, vision and one body are not disconnected from our strategies. When we, Eric and I, prayed about this, we felt our first strategy is discipleship. Now, it's not that discipleship doesn't happen in Rugeley Community Church. It does. However, in this year, and as part they'll be grafted into us, as the five strategies from last year are still part of us, we want to put more energy into discipling, into becoming a church where discipleship is increasingly growing amongst us. And we're talking about a culture change. It will take time. And that's what we have to be aware of with all our steps. It can be a tendency, because the world has a tendency of looking for quick fixes. If we don't make progress in this time, it must be wrong or it's never going to happen. That's not how God works. All he calls us to be is obedient and take the steps that we need to. And we can look for quick fixes in our lives and our families and our church. Yet there are no quick fixes to discipleship, because it's a life journey. Our call is to become a people where the Great Commission, go and make disciples, is actually being outworked. That as one body, we would both be discipling others as well as being discipled. It's one thing to accept the gospel, it's another thing to live it. Yet this is what discipleship is, that we would become more Christ-like. Eric sent me this quote by that came from the Willow Creek. I can't remember if it was a conference or just a daily read. They were creating a database of quotes, and I've got one of those quotes from that database by a guy called Mike Bream. He says this: if you make disciples, you always get the church. But if you make a church, you really get disciples. Effective discipleship builds the church, not the other way around. And discipleship is key to building this church. We know the great commission that Jesus gave his disciples. Are we his disciples? Yes. Okay, so he's speaking to us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What might happen if every member of this church, even church, recognized that the whole of their life mattered to God? Not just Sundays, not just growth group, not just when you're feeling good about yourself. The whole of our lives matter to God. Not just because he cares, which he does, but because our ordinary lives can be directly involved in his mission. Have you ever thought about how many people you cross in your daily life? Whether it's at work, school, in town, eating out. Christ's last words to us on earth were, go and make disciples. So our abilities, our talents, our tasks, our recreation should be done with this command in mind. God created us all with different abilities and talents, did he not? He allowed certain tasks to be placed in our lives. And he gives you the enjoyment for that recreation so that you can proclaim Christ. Our lives should be intentionally putting people, pointing people to Christ and what he has done for mankind. Now, I actually like the way that Bill Johnson has worded Matthew 28. He says this: go heal the sick, preach the good news, demonstrate who I am and what I am like, extend my kingdom. Extend my kingdom. How? Through the authority that Jesus given us. If you go back to verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. On the basis of this authority, Jesus told his disciples to make more disciples as they preached, baptized and taught them with this same authority. If you're a disciple of Christ, which you all are in this room, his authority is within you. His Holy Spirit is within you. We can each take steps to see this authority outworked in every aspect of our lives in 2013. I believe in a supernatural God. So I believe that we should see healings. We should see signs and wonders. We should see the supernatural. And I don't mean just in a context like this. I mean in our life. Because we're called to be his disciples. And Jesus has sent us with the authority that he was given from the Father, from heaven and earth. So when you go out in that authority of Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. I challenge myself when I say that. Because I don't see that in my life fully yet. We see it at times. We see glimpses of what Jesus called us to be. But we can become the people that Christ has called us to be. We need to be those people who are full of his Spirit. There is a dark and frightful world out there who has no hope, who lives by day to day because they don't know what tomorrow brings. This is what it means to be salt and light in the world that we live in. But in regards to discipleship, there are great opportunities in 2013 to make disciples. Ooh, how was that then, Richard? Alpha. Alpha is about making disciples. We've seen disciples made from the last course we did. We've even had an inquiry for our next course that hasn't even started yet. But we will be having one after Easter and in the autumn. They will be in place because they are a part of us. And there's going to be another opportunity to be discipled, as in 2013 we're going to run another marriage course. Now, some of you might think, what's that? I don't know what that is. You soon will, because you will be on it. But look at it as an opportunity to be discipled. Then there are opportunities to be discipled at Borderlands 2013. I really do encourage you to make this a priority. Don't see it as, oh, that's a weekend being filled up. See it as if there's an opportunity for you to maybe grow or be used by God. It's a great place to be discipled, a fellowship, and for God to speak to you and to us. Remember in 2010 when Julian Adams spoke to us as a church? We're still outworking that. But this is also an opportunity to further some of our steps from last year. So now, Janusz is going to correct me, because we've invited Jacek. Jacek, yes, that's what I said. And Tom Hag, who are the elders of Janusz and Camilla's old church that we visited, a group of us, last August, to come and be with us at that weekend. This is part of developing and taking the steps. And you think, well, how does that work? How does that? Well, do we not believe that we're going to be globally connected? So you have to marry what we're doing, however small it may seem, to what we believe God has called us to be in the bigger picture. So discipling leads to fulfilling godly potential. And our commitment to you all, each individually, from Eric and I this year, is that we are committed to encourage you to stretch yourself. So it doesn't mean we're going to send you down the gym or to Zumba. It means that spiritually, we're going to encourage you in whatever area that might be spiritually with God to be stretched. Now for us, that might mean that we have to take risks, because growth sometimes requires risk and faith. We, as leaders, this church, are prepared to do that. Because sometimes, until we step out, we don't see the fruit of that until it happens. So, our second strategy for 2013, our second step. A new facility. Oh, funny, Rich. That's that one from last year. Well, yeah, so it is. Well, looking back through 2012, we made progress more in the background than probably out front, in regards to new facility. And we did that because we've built further relationships in this last year with councillors and community agencies. And they will all be important for when we are moving. We have looked at various properties to various success, to various degrees. And we are in the final stages of becoming a charitable company, because we feel that's putting our house in order ready so that the trustees are not exposed to any liability. Not that we believe that's going to happen, but we want to be wise stewards in the way that we marshal and manage the church that God has given us. But I do feel, or we feel, there is a sense that there needs to be a greater focus on the facility for 2013 than we did in 2012. At a prayer meeting on September the 19th, 2012, God prophetically began to speak to us about a different direction. That he would provide, that we were to wait on him, we were to trust him, and be patient. Ooh. How good are we at that? How good are I at that? He reminded us that his ways are higher, and that this new facility would stand out in Rugeley. A place where people would have to go past. We were not to have a that will do mentality or a second best attitude. That's very evident in Ruthley. You know, and there's history to that. But God said no, he weren't to have that. As God was calling and is going to change the atmosphere over this region. And finally, he said on that night, direction would come from outside of these four walls. So what do I want to say about that? Well, my first thing is, see what you miss when you're not at a prayer meeting. So, my encouragement is, you have four opportunities this week. Tonight is the only one that's designated for healing. The other three nights, Eric and I have produced a handout, a booklet. Now, this is not to be made into an aeroplane or some other origami, but this lays out the strategies and some pointers, because I want us to come then following three nights and be open to God to pray around these three steps that I'm sharing. Discipleship, new facility, and the third one you'll see. So I want you to look at these. I want you to pray around these. I want you to see what God says to you that he wants you to bring over these three nights. Now, the very next morning, so by my calculations, that's September the 20th. It might be different if you've got a cheaper diary, but in most people's it is. Giles Arnold, who's been working with us on this journey, sent us an email in regards to a piece of land he'd come across in Rugeley, which had had planning permission to build houses and a community facility on. Now, a week later, Dave came to our elders and trustees meeting, stirred by a church that he came across in South Wales that was partnershipping with local authorities in building a church and community facility together. Now, here's a coincidence. It's the same project that Richard Moore had been working on in his capacity and what he does at work. I don't believe in coincidences, by the way. I don't believe in that. I was drawn at that time back to the prophetic, some of the prophetic words that were said over us in Kansas at IHOP in 2004 years ago, whenever that was. 2008, I think it was. And I was drawn by two things that God said, remembering what I've just said about us. The Lord is going to use you to change the atmosphere in your city. They didn't know how big Ruthley was, by the way. So I just said it's a little bit smaller at the end than a city, but we're getting there. That was said to us over 4 years ago, and now God is saying this again. I don't believe in coincidence. They also said, you're one who has been given building plans to build something that God would inhabit. You know, at that time, moving wasn't even in our mind. We were still going through transition from when Dave had been leading. I've also been impressed with a church called Life Springs Centre in Wolverhampton. They've partnered with Christian architects to design and build something that not only meets their future needs, but raises their profile in the community. And it's all like these are jigsaw pieces that start to come together. And we believe the picture means that we're in for a change of direction. Our vision has to broaden when it comes to a new facility. We've been looking at warehouses, we've been looking at places we can convert, but we believe we've now got to include partnershipping. Partners who will work with us to find or create premises that will support the vision. But there's more. There are practical steps that you need to take within a vision. So, from now, Eric is going to be employed by the church for 1 day a week. Now, some of you might say, we thought you already worked full-time for the church. That's his servant heart. We're taking a step in preparation for future growth. We're taking a step of faith, as well as honouring for him for what he already else, for what he already does. Eric is going to spearhead and give time to the building project. In the coming weeks, he will be forming a core team. Now, a core team, if you work that out, involves people. So, that might involve some of you. So be open to that. It will help us move us on the journey. What we're facing is too big a task and time for just one person. And you know, we've been busy as elders, we've been busy as trustees and other roles that they have. We feel actually this is where our greater focus needs to come in giving that time and energy. Now, Eric has already drawn up a project brief. Yeah. Which we will send to certain architects this month, inviting them to help shape and progress a project to create a new facility in support of the church vision. Now, what this doesn't contain is bricks, mortar, and drawings. Because we want to see if they will partner in relationship, they will build something with us. We need their expertise. This contains some of our history, our vision, our mission, the story so far. Yes, it contains some legal and financial statuses. The possible use of a new facility, draft requirements for a new facility, and some example sites that we feel God might be speaking to us about. So we will provide regular updates to you and encourage you to keep praying, to keep giving, and have expectancy for this year. So our final strategy, though it's not, it's just one of the steps that we're taking. So I'll rewind that. One of our other steps that we're taking for 2008 is lowering the average age of our church. Here we go again, Rich. Oh, yeah. But listen, that's why I talked about being one body. I'm not talking about us being a young church or an old church. I'm talking about us being the body of Christ. I believe that there is wholeness in one family. I didn't see Jesus going to those or to them. I saw Jesus going to the community that he lived in. But we recognise we need to reach and engage with the under 40s to an extent that more growth will come in the church from the under 40s than it will from the over 40s, because that will balance the wholeness of what we have. Now, a new facility will play a part in that. So will discipleship, actually. But we also need to lower the age of our leadership and those who are involved on a Sunday. We have to lower our age appeal. So, we recognise there are small things we can do. The website needs to look and have a younger appeal about it. The church logo. Yeah, there's a number of heads dropped now, I know. It will be. You can pray for us. Me and Matt are on it now at the moment. So there's been an army. But it is nearly there for presenting to elders. But it's important we get it right. But we need to get it out, because that will speak to us as well. You know, I've said before, the towers had their purpose. But to me, they say more of where we live than who we are. That's why it needs to change. We are, and this will be news to some, like Emma, but who might well be involved, we are going to create a church Facebook and Twitter page, because we need to connect with how the community connects with one another. And the format of our meetings has to evolve to incorporate younger people and families. Now, there's going to be various degrees of response to what I've just said, because some of us are not good at change. We're not comfortable at handling change. And as this says, you know, I've met all these people before on this. We are leaving because we do not like the way things are done. We are arriving because we do not like the way things are done elsewhere. Now, we all chuckle at that, but actually, I come across those people. And this, going back to what I said at the beginning, this is where vision and being one body is vital in regards to change. If you've caught the vision, you'll understand the bigger picture. It isn't about little o' me, though little o' you is very important. But this isn't, we're not here to meet my needs fully or yours. Yes, discipleship means we grow and we meet each other's needs, but we're here to go and make disciples. We're here to live out being Jesus's disciples and taking his love and his hope and his restoration into the community, families that we live in. If you've caught the vision, you'll get the bigger picture. So when I have my days of frustration, when I get brokenhearted, I get through it. Not because I wind myself up, because I believe that God has called us to fulfill the vision that he has painted for us. Or he has outlined for us. You're the paints that are going to make it happen. And if you understand the significance of your place with us being one body, change won't threaten you. You'll understand that actually change, godly change, is how we grow and is good. Otherwise we become stagnant and we don't move on. So I am denied about this, but I'm going to ask you to do it, whether you're visiting or not. If you're under 40, I'd like you to stand. I shall be looking. Okay. Yeah, Dave Webb. Now, we believe in a God of signs and wonders, Dave, and you know, if he wants to do that, then I just think personally, more your maths is not very good. So, okay. We can fulfill lowering the age of this church with you. We can't do it without you. So I want you to look around, all of us, because it isn't about them or us, it's us. We can fulfill lowering the age with you. We can't do it without you. I want you to still keep standing. If you're placed of God here, you're a hole filler. Okay? You're a hole filler in his church, in his body, within Rugeley community. You can help fix it. Eric and I can't. Unfortunately, I know this is going to be hard to believe, we're too old. Slightly, just. How do I mean by that? I mean, we don't leave you to it. I mean, we work with you. We help you connect. We help put together that which needs to be done to outwork, to help us evolve into the church that has the wholeness of Jesus Christ represented through the community. And that's what ministry is. Walking in and saying, I see a hole, I see a need. So I say to you, come with your ideas. Come ready to help work them out. And if a new idea proves a step towards fulfilling the vision, then we'll take that together. We won't say, that's great, off you go and get on with it. We take it together. Because I do not believe that we cannot interrelate and intermix with those of us who are grey and wise and with those of us that still need our nappies changing. Every single person is important to this church. You can sit down now, thank you. So, if you haven't heard Mick's word from last week on great expectations, then I encourage you to get it. I've listened to it. Let it be something that stirs and challenges you for expectation in 2013. Because I do believe we're in a year of breakthrough this year. And that won't be a massive, I think that will break through in areas where we seem to have hit a wall. I believe God will break us through this year. So in finishing, I could say a nice prayer and we could all go have tea and coffee and go home. We're not going to do that. Well, we will have tea and coffee and go home, but we're not going to do that just yet. The cornerstone of this church and our lives is Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to finish. The fact that we are gathered here as one body in this room, and I'm sharing about vision, mission, purpose, and plans, is due to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. None of this would be happening if it wasn't for him. And it's a sacrifice that he made upon that cross. Our first commitment for 2013, our first love for 2013 and for our lives should be Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that gave it all for us. So let us, as one body, in unity and diversity, but with interdependence, let us take steps forward in 2013. And I wanted to say, well, how can we physically demonstrate that this morning? Yeah, we can have a response. Actually, I think we need to do it from where the center of our hearts and our lives and our purposes, and that's through communion, in remembering Jesus Christ. That's where our focus needs to be. Every little issue, every gripe, every victory, we will come through if we keep Jesus Christ as central. So we're going to take this bread and this wine, and I want us to personally thank Jesus for what he's done in our life. But I also believe that as we do that, as we're remembering him and what he's done, let us just think that we are a diverse bunch of people here, but we're here because of Jesus Christ.